Amen. Hallelujah. Get your Bible out. Praise the Lord. The Word of the Lord. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Amen. And I believe this morning that we are going to go into a breakthrough level. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise God. I want you to know last week we talked about three things that we need to avoid. You know, as we go into this new year, you've got to be looking around. Nobody drives a car and doesn't watch the road. Well, I shouldn't say that because, man, I was on the road yesterday, and I'm not kidding you. This woman did not look at me. She was talking on the telephone, and she was looking down and trying to grab something up on the front seat, and I thought, God, she's going to hit me. Angels, you got to help me here. This woman is not watching. Well, there are some people who don't watch when they drive, but there are things that you need to avoid in 2008. Number one, we said wrong pathways. Wrong pathways. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it will enter in or will result in destruction. So you may be on a pathway today that is a wrong path. We talked about, you know, no matter how fast you're moving, you're still going the wrong direction. And so you'll have to get back on the right path. We talked about how Balaam was on the wrong path and God had to get his attention, cause a donkey to even start talking to him and said, dude, you need to turn this ship around. Some of us need to turn our ships around. We need to start going in a different direction in 2008. Start doing some things that we've never done before. T and I have started initiating some things in 2008 that we haven't done in 2007. Now, we've prayed, we've read our Bibles, and we've done confessions together and things like that, but we have changed it up. We're doing something completely different in 08 that we've never done in 07. Why? Because we're looking to experience some things we've never had. And for us to continue to do the same thing that we've done and expect change, I don't think that's going to happen. So wrong paths, you need to get on the right path. Secondly, we said there are hidden traps. There are hidden traps that we have to avoid. Now, we talked about how David, he had the enemy, actually Satan, entered into him, the Bible says in Chronicles, and caused him to have a census and wanted to count all the people in Israel. He said, you should not do this thing. Joab told him, you shouldn't do this thing. And David said, I want to do it because I'm prideful and I want to know how big and bad I am. And God said, oh, no, David, you shouldn't do this. What ended up happening was David had to throw himself into the hands and the mercy of God. And for 3 days, we saw a pestilence come upon Israel. Over 70,000 people were killed. Why? Because David didn't see the hidden traps. There are hidden traps out there that may look good, that may even seem permissible. But listen, not all things that are permissible are profitable. Are you following me? So we want to watch in 2008 that we don't fall into hidden traps. Number three, we said wrong relationships. Wrong relationships. You don't want to get into a relationship that is non-covenantal. In other words, if a person's not walking in covenant with God, I can't engage in a relationship with you. Now, I can like you. You can like me. We can be neighbors. We can talk. We can work together. We could even have coffee once in a while. But I can't get in a relationship with you because you're not in covenant with God. If you're not in covenant with God, I'm not going to bring you up. You're going to bring me down. So I have to recognize that as I move into 08. We also said last week that your most powerful asset on earth is an unbroken connection with heaven. That's your most powerful asset on earth, is an unbroken connection with heaven. You know, a lot of us have aborted our relationship with heaven, and we've put more emphasis on networking with man. Now, there's nothing wrong with networking. We have a professional business leaders luncheon that's coming up, and I hope that all of you would come. You say, well, I'm not a professional business leader. Oh, yes, you are. Do you have a home? Well, then you manage that house. You're a professional leader. Are you married? Yes, I am. Do you have money in your pocket or in the bank? Just a little bit. You are a leader. You are a manager. You ought to come and learn skill on how to achieve. But we see that our emphasis should not be in what man can do for us as much as what the Holy Spirit can do for us. We found out in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I forget the verse that right now, let's see, I think it's verse, is it up there? Do you have that back there? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let me think. Verse 16, it says, and since we have the same spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Do you have that one back there, or should I just look it up? All right, I'll just look it up. That's all right. Do it the old-fashioned way. Oh, it's up there now? Okay. To the one we are, the aroma of death. No, no, that's not it either. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Did I say second? You know, what can I do? I can't be right all the time. I'm only right some of the time. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Say that last part of that verse with me. But we have the mind of Christ. Say that one more time. But we have the mind of Christ. What we found out last week, now this is real important. You want to make sure that you really get this in your spirit. We have the mind of Christ. In other words, we have the capacity, to think God thoughts. We have the ability, because now we have the mind of Christ. In order to get the mind of Christ, you have to be what? Born again. Are you born again in here this morning? Anybody born again? Let me see your hand if you're born again. All right, now you have the mind of Christ. So therefore, if you have the mind of Christ, you have the basis or the foundation to be able to understand the things of God. Now in verses 10 to 12 in that same chapter, we find out that it's the Spirit of God that knows the mind of God. So the Spirit of God is what goes into the heavens, because God's thoughts are in heaven, because Isaiah 55 told us that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? We're on the earth. So we can't jump up into heaven and just say, okay, God, what you thinking about? There has to be a connection. Remember, your greatest asset on earth is what? An unbroken connection to heaven. And that connection to heaven is the Holy Spirit. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The next verse, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So now that I have the mind of Christ, I have the capability or the capacity to be able to know God's thoughts, because I've been born again. But I have to have a Holy Spirit relationship. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. To know something means to be able to engage it, to be able to receive it. And so the only way we can know it, engage it, and receive it is through the Holy Spirit who reveals it. Now that I've got the mind of Christ, it doesn't mean automatically I'm going to know the thoughts of God. Come that way. You have to be able to position yourself for that place of victory. Now, divine direction lies within obedience to instruction. We found that out last week. Divine direction lies within obedience to instruction. So when God's telling us to do something, there's often direction in that thing that he's telling us to do in our life. See, often people want to know, what is God's will for my life? What should I be doing this year? How do I conduct my life? How do I conduct my affairs? You know, obedience to the simple things reveals the direction of God. So if you're going to be disobedient, you'll stay confused the entire year. And we don't want to be confused. We want to know what God is saying and what he wants for us to do. So here's three things I want to give you today that you're to embrace, I believe, in 08. Now, we said three things to avoid. We said those wrong paths and wrong relationships and hidden traps. But what are the three things that we need to embrace? I believe the three things that we need to look for, write them down, journal them, embrace them as much as we can is, number one, divine words. Divine words or God words. Now, there's a difference between God words and man words. And you want to learn how to discern between the two. You want to be able to embrace God words. Number two, God thoughts. You say, well, isn't God words God thoughts? No. Words are as a result of thoughts. So I need to begin thinking the way God thinks, so that I will begin to speak the way God speaks. So now I need to be able to embrace the thinking of God. So in 08, what I want to do is not only have God words, I want to begin to embrace God thinking. How does God think about the situation that I've just got myself into? How does God think about this? Well, let me see what he thinks. What's his perspective? Okay, now that I've got that, thank you, Holy Spirit, that's what I think. So number three is God acts or God engagements. In other words, I now want to take action the way God takes action. So it's God's words, it's God's thoughts, and it's God's actions that I want to look for in 2008. Now, why do I want to do this? Because it is going to give you, as the number 8 means for us, the year of release. Release doesn't come because you're living in 2008. You know, a lot of people say, oh, praise God, 2008, year of release. Hallelujah, woo, I'm going to be released from all my debt. I'm going to be released from all my sorrow. No. But it's an opportunity in this year to experience these things if we begin to shun certain things and embrace other things. Can I get an amen? So let's talk a little bit about these God words. Go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul writing, and he said this. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Now in this new year, your speaking and my speaking is absolutely essential to your year of release. What you are saying about your life. I mean any little thing. I don't care what it is. I'm carrying with me a roll of duct tape. Now, I'm letting you know right now, if I hear anybody. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm going to take care of myself. You take care of yourself. That roll of duct tape is for me, okay? I start talking. Tita said, give me the duct tape. I said, what do you mean, give me the duct tape? And she's going to rip off a piece and put it right across my mouth and say, if you can't say anything right, don't say anything at all. Now, I want to talk about this for just a few minutes because we are prone to repeat what we don't want in life. Why? Because it's not happening. So we talk about why it's not happening and that it should be happening, but it's not. And all we're doing is reinforcing what isn't. You have to understand that death and life are in the power of your tongue. Now, you've heard that word before, and I'm not going to tell you anything new, but there's something in that you and I in this room have been trying to find, something that we've been trying to get into our life, and we can't find it. We've been working hard toward trying to accomplish it, but we can't locate it. See, where we thought it was, it isn't. Go to Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. The disciples were out all night trying to catch fish. They had to have a catch. Problem is, where they thought it was, it didn't exist. They were out all night. Now, these weren't novices like me getting a little fishing pole and going out to a pond somewhere. Don't know what I'm doing. You know, put a piece of bread on the end of a hook and hopefully catch something. These were professional fishermen. But they had come to the conclusion that what they were looking for didn't exist. Now hear that for me for a minute, because there are some people here in this room or hearing my voice that believe there are some things in life that you've been looking for that just aren't meant to be. Now that's a lie, because if it's in this book, it's meant to be. And God wants to give it to you. He said, well, I've been looking for it. I've been fishing all night. Here's what he said in verse 5. Simon answered him and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now notice something. The catch was not in the water. The catch was in the word. Big difference. He was trained naturally to find what he needed in the water. But Jesus was teaching him that what you really are looking for isn't in the natural. It has its source in the Word. And so when they followed in obedience to the Word, they got the catch. Now in 2008, stop looking for what you need or want the way you've been looking and the way you've been searching for it in 07, and start looking for it differently in 2008. In other words, start looking for it in the Word. When a word comes to you, say, God, there's my fish. There's my fish. I'm believing there's my fish. So, you see, the catch was in obedience to the Word of God. Now, Jesus, in John chapter 1, tells us that He was the Word made flesh. Now, John 6:63 is a powerful scripture You have that one. You can put it up there for the people. But John 6:63 says that it is the Spirit who gives life. Everybody read that with me. It is the Spirit who gives life. Everybody read it again, please. It is the Spirit who gives life. So we find out then you cannot have life without the Spirit. Amen? Can we surmise that? Can we conclude the fact that there is no life without the Spirit? Why? Because Jesus said it is the Spirit that gives what?
Life.
The flesh doesn't profit a thing. In other words, the flesh doesn't mean that it's not good for anything, our natural body. It's just that it doesn't produce life. It's the Spirit that produces life. The words that I speak to you, now Jesus said, watch this. The words that I speak to you are what?
Spirit
and they're what?
Life.
So he tells us it's the Spirit who gives life. Then he said, the words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. So Jesus was essentially saying it is the Holy Spirit that produces life. It is the breath of God. It's the Spirit of God that produces life. Now here's what I want you to know. He was teaching his disciples. He said, what I say to you is Spirit. The moment I say it, it becomes Spirit. And when I say it and it becomes Spirit, it makes life. You following me? So now we're understanding something about speaking the Word of God. It's not just so that we can sound more spiritual, become more religious. No. What we're doing is we are producing life. Because His Word is Spirit and it is life. So when you declare the Word of God or you release the Word of God into a situation in your life, you are literally releasing the Spirit into that situation. So whether you're having a challenging marriage, challenging finance, challenging relationship, whatever it is, when I speak the Word into that situation, I am releasing the Spirit into that situation, right? Now, what can I expect out of that situation? Life. I can expect life. Why? Because my words are Spirit and life. It is the Spirit that brings life. Therefore, when I speak the Word into that situation, I can expect life out of that situation. Even if it looks like it's dying. Even if it looks like it's weak. Even if it looks like it's not going to work, all I do is just keep giving the Spirit into it. See, like Jesus said, when the world were chaotic, when there was chaos on the earth, He said, let there be light. He spoke the Word. The Word became the Spirit. And the Spirit brought cosmos out of chaos. So we need to learn how to speak the Word in 2008. We need to begin to talk about how we live in the advantage. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm advantaged. You don't feel like you're advantaged because you haven't breathe the life of advantage into your situation. See, you and I have got to say, okay, wait a minute. I'm not living on the wrong side of the tracks. I'm not the wrong gender. I'm not the wrong race. I'm not too old. I'm not too young. I'm not disqualified in any way. No, 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 no. I know that the Spirit gives life and the Word that God speaks is life. Therefore, if I speak the Word, it's the Spirit, and the Spirit will produce life in this situation. And I can fully expect by the end of 2008 to be living completely different than I was when I came into this year. So we want to embrace the words of God. Go to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Now I know that really disappoints a lot of us because I love to eat. I love to drink. But the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. What is He saying to us? He's not saying that it's not mere food. He's saying it's not from the natural sustenance. It's not from the resource of the natural. The kingdom of God is not in the natural. He's saying the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now read the last part of that little phrase, in the Holy Spirit. Read that with me. In the Holy Spirit. So when you read the Word of God, we're saying the kingdom of God, what it isn't. Then He tells us what it is, righteousness, peace, and joy. But notice, it is righteousness, peace, and joy when what? It is in the Holy Spirit. So now we see the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. You could actually dissect this particular verse and say the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. So now that I understand the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit, watch this. When I speak the word, then I release kingdom dominion. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. So when I speak the word, which is spirit, which brings life, I am releasing kingdom dominion. Now, let me ask this question. Is Jesus the King of all kings? Yes. Lord of all lords? Yes. Therefore, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, right? So that tells me then that if something's resisting me, and I know it's God's will for me to walk in this or have this, then what I have to do is I have to exert my authority. How do I exert my authority? Well, I don't have any. Now, Luke 10:19 says all authority that Jesus had was given unto us. So now I realize the only authority I have is kingdom authority. But how do I release kingdom authority? I can't just walk around saying, look, I'm a king's kid, and you got to let go, devil. Devil's going to look at you and say, fooey on you. No, he has to hear the edict of the king. You and I have no authority. You can start walking around and confessing a Cadillac all day long. You'll be driving that Toyota Corolla 1995 until the wheels fall off. It ain't going to come. It's only going to come when we what? Release kingdom dominion into the situation. So how do we do that? We begin to speak the edict of the king. And the domain or the dominion of the king is released into that situation. Now, I know a lot of you are looking at me and you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, you know, this seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. That means a lot less TV time, a lot less recreation time, you know, a lot less, you know, hanging out with your friend time, and a lot more speaking the dominion of the king time. It takes and requires your complete attention. We can't veg out in 08. To veg out is to lose opportunity. So we see then that when we speak the word, the king's dominion is manifested. Now I like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 17. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Read that with me. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Okay, we're going to read it one more time. This is real easy to do. You just have to kind of open my mouth, push breath through your... And it happens, right? Let's read it. Ready? Go. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Also, another translation says freedom. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. So now... whose responsibility is it to place the Holy Spirit? It's mine. So I release the Holy Spirit into that situation through the words of my mouth, because His words are spirit and life. Therefore, now I'm standing back believing that something's about to be birthed in my life. Something's just been conceived, because God's word doesn't lie. Now, I know a lot of us haven't been trained this way. We've come up through church. We've come up through religious circles. And all we want to do is win the sweet by and by, wait till heaven, you know, get to heaven and we'll be with Jesus. But listen to me. Why wait in defeat? We might as well go out of here a glorious church. How many believe we ought to be glorious? How many believe that Jesus is coming back for something greater than He saved? I believe that. I don't want to be the same mess that I was when He found me, when He comes back to take me. I want to give Him glory. I want Him to say, oh my, look what happened to this boy. I found him swaddling in his clothes in blood. I found him a mess. I found him bleeding and dying. But look at the boy now. Wow, is he powerful in the Spirit. Amen? So the Spirit always works to demonstrate liberty and freedom. So don't work against your own need for liberty and freedom by speaking man's words. example. I need money. Man, I need some money. I need some money. Oh, God, I wish you'd give me some money. You're giving all them other people money. Why don't you give me some money? Oh, God ain't never going to give me no money. Now, what you're doing is you're building bars to your cage. You're building walls around your existence. You're giving permission for the devil to keep you bound. Because where the Spirit is, there is
liberty.
But where the Spirit isn't, there is bondage. See, sometime when you read the Bible, you got to read it in reverse. Understand that the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But you take the Spirit of the Lord out of it, and there is bondage. If there's freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there is no freedom. So if I want to be free in my finances, I've got to invest the Holy Spirit or the kingdom's domain into my finances. I can't walk around complaining. That's why I carry the duct tape. I got to carry duct tape. I've got to get in covenant with somebody who will correct me, that I will not let the words of my mouth come out negative or the words of my mouth come out in any dimension other than what God's word has already declared. Case in point, we're only 6 days into this year. And I have been as diligent as I can about every word that I've been speaking. And I began to declare some things. And one day, the next morning, we woke up. I'm writing a journal. I'm keeping journal of everything God's showing me this year. I'm writing things in there. And Tina said, can I tell you something? I said, yeah. She said, I just wanted to remind you of three things you said yesterday that's not in line with God's word. I said, only three. Praise God. That's good. She said, when you said this, you withheld grace from the here. And we'll get to that in a minute. Maybe. I don't know if I'll get to all this today or not. You withheld grace to the here because there should be no unwholesome word that comes out of your mouth, but only that which is for the edification of the here. You withheld grace. Therefore, you've been disobedient to God. She didn't say it like that because I'm a preacher, but she said it like that. And I said, okay, what was it? And she began to tell me. It had to do with my relationship with my children, some things that I've said. And I said, okay, God, I repent. I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me. And then I went to them and I said, look, I was stupid when I said this yesterday. No, I wasn't stupid. I was just ignorant. I was walking in my flesh. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? And I went on. Because I realized the stakes are too high. The stakes are too high. Why? Because there's a lot of people in this city that'll die and go to hell unless we get this right. Because people don't come to church because God sends them. People come to church because we bring them. Now, I'm not talking about invite them and put them in your car. By creating the environment, by releasing the spirit of life into them. And so we look at every opportunity, every person we meet, as an opportunity to bring grace into their life, to bring glory into their life, to bring favor into their life. I'll get to that in just a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself. But let me just share this with you. Don't work against your own words when you need liberty and freedom by speaking man's words. Now, Luke chapter 1 gives a great illustration of this in verse 20. Zacharias was a high priest. He was into the worship, you know, the temple. That it was his season, his time. And the Bible says that you're going to be mute and not able to speak until the day of these things take place because you didn't believe my words, which would be fulfilled their own time. In other words, God said to Zacharias, your wife's going to have a baby. He said, yeah, right. She's old, man. She's old. He said, no, she's going to have a baby. Okay, I can believe that. But then he's going to call him John. Nobody in my family's called John. He's going to be a great prophet. Oh, come on. You got to believe. He didn't believe it. He said, well, I don't believe this is going to happen. God says, okay, good. Because you won't believe, I'm going to make you mute. Because what I'm about to birth is too important for you to mess up by your words. So for the time until he was born, he could not speak. Now, if words weren't so powerful, then why would God have to keep his mouth shut? Now, that's not all. You go to the next verse. I think, I forget the next one, Luke 1 there. Not only that, but Elizabeth went into hiding. 5 months. If you read the scripture, She went into hiding for 5 months. When she couldn't hide it no more, you know how it is, ladies. You can't hide it. But you can hide it for 5 or 6 months. She went into hiding. Now, why did she go into hiding? She was married. She was older. But could it have been she didn't want any negative words spoken for that baby John to hear from people that were religious? And the only time or when she came into public is when Mary came. Do you remember the story? And when Mary came into her presence, what happened to what was being birthed? It leaped because it was being groomed to only hear the word of God and not the word of man. Whatever God is wanting to birth in this city, whatever God is wanting to birth in your life, you and I have to be careful not to speak negative words about it and bring an abortion to that which God is trying to birth. She refused to expose John to the careless speech of others who could have affected him negatively. You know, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, let me talk about God thoughts for a minute. This is a startling verse. Are you ready? Put it up on the screen. This is like crazy verse. Are you ready? Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Jesus said to him, how many believe that? Six hands went up. I mean, is that a crazy verse or what? Let's read it again, nice and loud. Ready? Read. Crazy. Remember what we said in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13? I believe it, therefore I speak. I speak what I believe. Your core belief system will come out of your mouth. So we need to learn how to wake up every day of our life and say, there are no limits to this day's potential. This is a day without limits. Hallelujah. God, you're about to do something big. Some of us get more excited when you read your horoscope than you do when God's promises. You think, oh, there's going to be a love coming into my life. Oh, there's a new love coming into my life. Ooh. You've been looking for him all day long. Go to get a coffee and you're looking around. Is that him? Is that him? But when it comes to the Bible, we're like, I need to believe all things are possible. Him who believes. So we have to look at renewing our mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. How do you know when your mind is renewed? Anybody want to answer that question? How do you know when your mind is renewed? Here's a way to answer it. When the impossible appears logical. You need to write that down. How do I know my mind's renewed? Oh, this is no big deal. This is easy. That just seems like the logical way to do it. Build debt free? Amen. That's the way to do it. Hallelujah. That seems logical to me. You mean we're not going to go to the bank and get the money? No. We're just going to believe God for it. Well, you crazy. No, that just seems logical to me. Because my mind has been renewed. How do you know your mind's renewed? When the impossible appears logical. Come on, church. We're talking about God thoughts in 2008. I'm going to get a slogan that I think we need to begin to speak, and that is, I believe it. I believe it. Kind of like a frog on a log, ribbit. I believe it. I believe it. Just over and over, all night long, I believe it. Did you ever hear a frog croak all night long? I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Just sit on the log and keep declaring, I believe it. Come on, say it with me. I believe it. Look at somebody and tell them, I believe it. See, we need to get a new slogan that says, I believe it. God is able. See, we need to change our perspective and learn to fight from the victory of Christ instead of fighting for the victory of Christ. The victory's already been won. What are you trying to fight for something? No, no, no. Fight from something. I'm standing in this fight from the victory of Christ. I'm not trying to get the victory of Christ established. It's already been established. So I have to change my thinking. That's why Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, I love the Amplified Bible. It says, think upon these things. It said, the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind, winsome, gracious, if there's any virtue, any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on way and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Fix your minds on them. By doing that, you begin to release something into your situation. Now, what's important to release into a situation? Not only the spirit, but you need to learn how to release joy into a situation. When you begin to think upon things that are only lovely, good report, virtuous, all of those things, when you begin to think about that, your feelings will change. You'll release joy. You say, ooh, I can't hardly wait till God comes through on this. Wow, Mr. Wonderful's coming my way. Mrs. Wonderful, see, Miss Wonderful's coming my way. You know, we need to begin to get the joy. Why is the joy important to release? Because Nehemiah 8 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, we fall short. We get weak. We fall apart in the fight because we don't have strength. But when I renew my mind, and that possible seems logical, and I begin to think on things that are heavenly, then all of a sudden I've got joy. When I release joy, I've received strength. And I can continue to battle from the victory and not for the victory. That's a big difference in our life in 08. Stop fighting for your victory. Fight from your victory. Because I'm already a conqueror. I don't have to try to conquer. Baby, look at me. I'm a conqueror. I'm already victorious. Hallelujah. And then Isaiah 60 and verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come. This is the third thing. See, my choice is to rejoice. Say that with me.
My choice is to rejoice.
Y'all write that down. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Yeah, but what happens when? You know, I had one of them situations this week. Went in to get my van fixed. Guess what? They fixed it. 3 days later, guess what? It was broke again. Went back. They said, whoops, we didn't see this. Now you got to pay it. I said, well, just for free now, right? No, there'll be another $500. I said, hey, my choice is to rejoice. You have those choices. You have a choice to get mad, spit, kick the dog, drink, go out, cuss, hit somebody. I mean, I was at the airport yesterday coming home from my vacation to preach. And we're sitting down in the baggage claim with 300 people trying to get their bags. Three flights on one carousel, and there were six carousels empty. I don't know where the administration was in that room, but there was 300 of us. One man tried to get his luggage and tripped over a bag, fell into this woman, and you know, didn't say anything. I'm trying to get my bag. And the husband said, man, what you doing with my wife? You hit my wife like that? And he pushed him, and then he grabbed him and threw him down. And all of a sudden, I thought, man, this is going to be a riot in here. He didn't choose. His choice was not to rejoice. I wouldn't either, man. Somebody falling in my way, I'd knock him out too. Choice to rejoice. Acts chapter 6, Isaiah 60 verse 1. Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Matthew 5:16 says, we're the light of the world. And to shine means to become glorious. Look at somebody this morning and say, you're looking mighty glorious. Now, what do I mean by glorious? Glorious is the manifestation of the presence of God, the person of God, the attributes of God. Boy, you're looking glorious today. We want to become glorious. That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and 29, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is for the edification of the hearer. For why? It brings grace to the hearer. In other words, favor. Did you know that I could bring favor on you? I could bring favor on you by bringing words of encouragement to you. I met Cheyenne the other day. She was behind the counter as we were at this store. had her name plate on. Her name was Cheyenne. I said, hey, Cheyenne, that's a cool name. I said, you got any Indian in your background? She goes, nope. I said, did Grandma or Grandpa name Cheyenne? She goes, nope. She said, I like the name, but I don't know where it came from. But I'm going to tell you right now, Cheyenne, you made me happy when I saw your name. She got a big smile on her face. I walked away and I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, draw Cheyenne to the glory of God. Bring her into your kingdom, Father, and I send your word to Cheyenne right now. You know what I did? I just put divine favor on her life. Out of my words. I put divine favor on. We were at Bahama Breeze Restaurant. Thank you, Chuck and Norma. It was a great time. And we were sitting there, and Rachel, my waitress, came up, and she waited on us. And the Lord just kept kind of nudging my heart, and I started talking to her a little bit, and I just tried to find out about her. I found out that her daughter is 10 years old, but she hasn't grown since she was 5, and she's got a brain tumor. And I said, no, Jamie. I said, we're going to be praying for you. We're going to believe God. No, I mean, no, Rachel. Jamie is going to be the healed of the Lord. And I just speak words of life. I speak words of grace. And ever since that day I met her, I just now, as I think about it, I say, God, in Jesus' name, this morning we were praying for tumors here. I said, Lord, send the word to Jamie. Send the word to her right now in Jesus' name. God, let her meet me because I am a favored distributor. Do you hear what I'm saying? Every person you meet, every person you come in contact with, you have the ability to release divine favor upon their life. Why not give them some favor? Amen? All right, stand up with me. Hallelujah. I wish I had another 2 hours. I mean, I'm telling you, I want to preach this thing because it's so powerful. Next week, I'm going to get into two things. Results of embracing these things and the benefits of embracing these things. There are results. Everybody say results. Results. Look at somebody and say, I'm just looking for results. Let me give you a hint. Two of them are what? Peace and progress. Anybody can use any peace and progress in this new year? Amen. Amen. And benefits. You know, when you go to get a job and they're going to pay you money, you want to know if they have any. Because if they've got, you're more able to contract with them and give you what you've got, so they'll give you what they've got. They're enticing you. Let me tell you something. 2008 is chock full of benefits. God wants to benefit His people. Hallelujah. You're here this morning, you're not born again. You must be born again. Why? Because you don't even have the capacity to receive the God thoughts from heaven. But Jesus loves you so much, He wants to give you His life. And if you can, unless you got somewhere to go, just hang out for a minute. It's early, it's 11:30. I got to jump in a car and drive an hour to go preach over in Beechwood, but you pray for us. But listen, God wants to bless you. And He wants you to be a blessing machine. He wants you to be a blessing machine. How? God words, God thoughts, God acts. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In Jesus' name. Minister Jason is going to come and just ask if you want to find Jesus as your Savior, and He'll close the service.
Amen. All heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. This is a special moment. This is where we can take the message and apply it to our lives. Very serious moment this morning. Jesus, you're welcome here through the power of your Holy Spirit. Begin to move and have your way this morning. Altar ministers, if you'll just quietly make your way to the front this morning. It would be foolish for us to walk into a place of service, whether it's getting our hair cut or ladies getting our nails done, to walk in, to look around and watch people have a service provided for them. And then when it comes your turn, to stand up and to walk out the door. And you know that happens in our church. This morning, some of us were pricked. We live in a negative world, don't we? We're taught to say whatever comes out of our mouth. Being spirit-filled believers, you go to work and you have to battle and fight. Because the world wants to talk negative and tear down the Word of God and pull it out of our lives. I think this morning, many of us need to make a covenant with our Creator. We need to sign a contract with him. And say, you know what? I'm going to do something with my mouth. I'm going to guard my mind and my thoughts. And so friends, let's not just come in and leave the same way. This morning with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you feel the Holy Spirit pressing upon your heart this morning, you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you to make a covenant, an agreement with him, that you allow him to call you on your words. You allow him to tell you to change the channel, to get off the computer. If you're feeling that this morning, just make your way down this morning. Find one of our altar ministers. We'd like to have some altar ministers head over in this direction. Gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning. Oftentimes you see Christians, friends, they're trying to live this Christian life and they're trying to do it just with a head knowledge. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues. You speak in the Spirit of God. Do you know that he'll empower you? It doesn't have to be a crazy, freaky thing. And sometimes people label our church as a crazy church because we speak in tongues. Let me tell you, it's the power of God. We need it if we're going to be effective Christians. And if you're not sure about it this morning, head in that direction. Elder Gilkes will pray for you. Let's come this morning. Let's take a couple minutes. Make your way down if God's pricked your heart. Just make your way down. Find one of these folks. He's good, isn't he? His word is so good. I tell you what, I'm convicted this morning, man. I'll be real honest. There's things that I can do better. Sometimes I let stuff slip out of my mouth. It's not right. Shame on me. Lord, help me to do better. My wife and I had a moment the other day where we sat on the bed and we just shared. Said, hey, we're going to do better. We're going to do better. We're going to do more. Hold me accountable to this. Let's do that this morning. Let's say a general prayer because there are some people that maybe are a little bit intimidated to walk down here. Can we do that this morning? Let's surrender to him. Heavenly Father, this morning, I give you my mind and every thought that enters it. Lord, I give you my mouth. Even though I live in a negative world, I serve a positive God. I'm going to let life come from my lips. I'm going to build up and not tear down because you have given me life. I'll speak blessing, prosperity. Now, Lord, help me to take action. Holy Spirit, tap on my heart. May I follow you. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Those of you who probably received a phone call for Haiti, just want you to know thank you for all of you that have given. We're taking a lot of stuff down. We filled up 12 huge duffel bags, so thank you for that. I'd point you out and tell you who you are who gave a lot, but I don't want to steal your blessing away from the Lord. If everybody can just hold tight real quick, we want to show you something before you take off. The O-rings have gone through some tough things. And as a church family, we all kind of chipped in. Maybe you got the email. Maybe you heard from a word of mouth. But we were able to bless them. And everybody kind of got their address. And some sent money. And some bought Christmas presents. And here's the O-rings.
We have felt God's overflow. This Christmas, it was just, it was too much almost. It's still too much. It's still amazing.
This Christmas has been different because, you know, God has showed himself to us and said, you know, look, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about anything, you know, because we have been worrying about some things, and he just let us know that faith and patience will get you through.
When it does come, you're just like, whoa, God is so really, really good.
We have
5 children. Our oldest one, Maya, is 8. Our next one, Audrey, is 5. And then Jaden is 3. She'll be 4 in January. And then Isabella, she is 2. And Evan, he is 1.
Our 5-year-old, Audrey, when people were coming over every day, they brought big boxes of food. Audrey's like, did we win the food lottery? We're like, yeah. Jesus came in and just blessed us with all this. So they have been walking around since then saying that this is the best Christmas that they've ever had. And they've given credit all to Jesus. And they just walk around. Jesus is just blessing us this year.
When the church family allowed themselves to be vessels for God, it's just been an overwhelming experience for everybody in our family, and that's what they've done for us. They've completely changed our Christmas and our outlook on the new year.
We love you, O-Rings. That's what the church is all about, right? That was the church, the New Testament. The last thing we want to show you this morning, if you have a teenager, we're taking off to a thing called Dare to Share. We showed a video last week, and many people are like, what is that? Basically, guys, our teenagers are under attack. And so much under attack that now we have self-proclaimed 15-year-old atheists and agnostics. Dare to Share is a way that we can train your teenager so that when they do reach out, they don't look stupid. They're smart. They're educated. They know the Word of God. They know what they believe. And this is just a small, quick clip of what Dare to Share is all about.
This is where I've sat for the last 4 Dare to Share events. Seat check.
It's something we always look forward to, like every year.
It's a life-changing experience.
Because it's fun to worship with all my friends.
It's always great. Like, it's always an awesome experience.
It was just, like, one of the best times of my life.
A different experience every time.
Totally.
And we've been going here for a long time. I mean, Dare to Share literally is one of those events that every single year that we go to, my students get fired up about their faith.
It's definitely different. Like, each year I look forward to the different things that are going to happen, the dramas and the praise, but every year it's different. There's never been a drama that's been the same, and there's never been anything that was quite the same, and so you're expecting something new every time you come.
This is where I realize I'm coming back next year.
Hey amen, that's Dare to Share. It's $80. Vonetta, my assistant, will be back at the Fusion booth. If you want information, moms and dads, pick up some information. We'd love to share more with you. And let's end with this, like Pastor always says, live right. Love everybody. Don't pick and choose. And pray hard. We love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.